But I'm so thrilled that you guys are here today. We're starting a new series that we're calling Listen Up, and it's all about hearing God's voice. And so our whole plan today, the whole thing that we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, is we're going to talk about hearing God. And so some people say, you know, can you hear God? I get asked that question a lot. Can you hear God? How do you know if it's God? How do you know if it's pizza? How do you know if it's a good idea or just a random thought? And so I really do think you can hear God. I think that God speaks, and I think that God wants us to hear him, and so we're going to talk about that today. If I didn't, I wouldn't have moved across the country. I mean, we moved across the country, me and my beautiful wife and our four kids, not just because we thought it would be fun, because moving is terrible, all right? And we moved here because this is where we felt God showed us. And so, and as far as hearing God's voice, God always has a good plan, but the problem is that sometimes we don't know how to hear him. We don't know how to listen to him. So we're going to start this week and go through the next 3 weeks on really getting to the place where hopefully you guys can hear God, all right? And hopefully you can begin to make decisions that God would lead you into, because every time you make the decision that God has called you to make and every time you obey, it is just awesome. Things have been going amazing. This was the right place for us to move. This was the right time for us to move. And God has just put everything together. And it's good to be able to hear his voice. I have a friend, Caleb, and so I'm going to answer three questions, and we'll put those on the screen. Over this next couple weeks, we're going to answer, can God speak, does God speak, and then how can I hear him? Those are the three questions that we're going to answer today. And so my friend Caleb, he's a theology student at CIU, and he is well-read. He reads theology for fun, all right? Now, when I went to Bible school, I read theology because they made me, because that was what I had to do to pass, and I wanted to pass. But I enjoyed the history part. I loved the church history. I studied all the historical documents. I thought I can relate to this. Real people, real things that happened. Caleb is on the other end of the spectrum. He loves the theology part. So he's going to come, and he's going to make the case that God always speaks. And that's your first blank on your paper right there. So Caleb, guys, welcome Caleb. He's a man of God, one of the smartest guys I know.
Hey, guys, I do love theology. It is quite entertaining. I also like old school Bibles, which are apparently kind of in the way. There's nowhere really to put this. So, appreciate it. Thank you. That's right. You know, stand up here and bang them. So Chris came to me and he goes, make the case from Scripture that God speaks. And I was like, God, like, where do you even start with that? There's just so many instances throughout Scripture where God speaks. So one of the first things I'm just going to point out is the Bible itself is the Word of God, right? Scripture itself tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed out by God, or given by inspiration, that it's God's word to us. So just from the get-go, just recognize that if you have a Bible in your house, like, God would speak to you through his word. So I'm gonna talk to you about his word a little bit. We're going to be going a little bit fast, like if I go too fast, somebody, like, scream from the back, slow down, maybe, I don't know. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, you don't have to look these up. I'll kind of go through them for you guys. I'm just going to read it. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So what that scripture is telling us is that throughout the Old Testament, throughout the prophets, Moses, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, etc., right? God is speaking. God is making himself known to his people. God is making himself known to the world. And then in the latter days, in the time of Christ, he spoke most fully and most clearly in his Son, Jesus Christ. So I felt pressed upon to kind of make this point for you guys. Part of why we speak, me speaking to you guys, you having a conversation with one another, part of why we speak is to relate to people. Amen? How many of you guys like to talk to people you love, like to interact with language with people you love? God is like that. God is relational. God loves you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to be heard and God wants to hear you. And so one of the things that really impressed upon me is John 1:14. It's a scripture that I've been like meditating on for a year, and it goes, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory." That God's Word is a person, and that God's Word became flesh and walked around on earth to make himself known to us. It's Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Just hold on to that idea that God wants to relate to you, wants to know you, and that's part of why he speaks. And I'm going to quickly run through a couple things in the scriptures. So from the very get-go, if anyone's ever read Genesis, I don't know if you've ever read Genesis. If you haven't, I highly suggest it. That book starts with the creation of everything that is, and it starts with God speaking. So if you process through that book, you'll find this phrase about a million times. "And God said, let there be light, earth, animals, etc. And there was light, grounds, animals, etc." God speaks and it happens. So from the very beginning, we see that God is a God who speaks and that God is a God who relates. So if we process through Genesis 1 and 2, we'll see that God used to walk around in the cool of the day, that he related with Adam, that he talked to Adam, that he gave commandments to Adam, that he gave comfort to Adam, that he gave duties to Adam, and it was all through the speaking of God. As we begin to go through the scriptures farther, we find Abraham. Everybody know Abraham? God speaks to Abraham when he's in the land of his fathers and tells him to leave and go out to a land that God will show him. And throughout the story of Abraham, God is speaking to Abraham. God is guiding Abraham. He does the same thing with Noah. He does the same thing with Cain. He does the same thing with Jacob when he shows up and he wrestles with Jacob and he renames him and he gives him a destiny and he gives him a mandate. He's speaking in various times and in various ways. Moses, everybody knows Moses, right? Remember the burning bush? Angel of the Lord comes into the burning bush, and the burning bush is set ablaze but not consumed. And God speaks to Moses and gives him a destiny and gives him a mandate and calls him to go do something. And then all throughout the wilderness, Moses would go up on the mountain to speak with God and to be spoken to by God. So we're the prophets. We know what the prophets are. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and every single one of those, and every single one of the prophets, when you read them, what you find is that the word of the Lord came to these men, and that these men spoke the words of God, that God spoke to them and guided them. And that last book, Malachi, because of Israel's sin and kind of rebellion, God basically says, like, I'm not going to speak to you guys anymore for a while. And that blank between the Old Testament, Malachi, and Matthew, if you've ever noticed that in your Bible, that's 400 years. 400 years where they're like, man, God is not speaking to us anymore. And then we get Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we've seen his glory. It's an amazing reality. You process through the New Testament, you're going to find that God continues to speak. He speaks through his apostles. He speaks through Scripture. And finally, in Revelation, which is the summation of all things, right? Revelation points forward to the end of our era. God is speaking, calling his bride home. So from Genesis, from the beginning of all things to Revelation, the end of all things, God speaks. So here's an interesting question. Why? Just to do it? Who's he speaking to? Why did God continually call out to Israel? Why does God continually call out to the people in the New Testament era? Who is God speaking to? I think the answer is he's speaking to us. He wants to be heard. He wants to know you. He wants to relate to you. Maybe you've never thought about this, but reading of Scripture and other methods that Chris will talk about is the way we hear from God. And prayer is the way we talk to God. He set it up for us. Set it up to communicate with him. So I just kind of want to leave you guys with that. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to know you more than you know. And to that end, he has spoken in tremendous and amazing ways.
Amen. Thank you, Caleb. I appreciate that. And you can see if you're following along on your insert is that God always speaks and God wants us to hear him. And I think that that's true. And I think Caleb took you through the scripture and he saw that. I know in my life, so of course the scripture is the ultimate authority, but in my life, the name of the series is Listen Up, Hearing God Above All the Noise. In my life is noisy. I don't know about you, but I don't live the existence of like an old school monk. I don't get a lot of quiet time. I'm not one of those guys back in the day that they could just separate from the world and go out to a cave and pray and fast and read the Bible. There's sometimes I think that'd be cool, but I don't get that. I don't have that privilege yet. Still, I'm asked to connect with God. I go to work every day. And still I'm asked to connect with God at work. I have a family. I have kids that as soon as they walked in the door, they spent the weekend with their grandparents. And as soon as they walked in the door, we were praying. My eyes were closed, praying for church, praying for you guys. As soon as they came in the door, they're like, whoo! And they just like hug you and climb on you. And they want me to pick them up and kiss them and hug them and give me a piece of gum. And it's noisy. Like, life is noisy, like Zane knows. Zane has 6 of those kids. I have 4 with 1 on the way, and kids are noisy. Even 1 kid is loud. And work, it's, you know, you're doing things there, and then you have life, and if you have a spouse, or you have friends, or you have bills, and so how do you hear God, this God that Caleb made the case for that always speaks and that wants us to hear him? How can we hear him in the midst of all this noise? This week, I got calls. I get calls on the church phone. Luckily, it comes to me. It comes to me. So if you call the church number, hi, you know, it's me. That's all you get, all right? There's no office. It's just me and my cell phone, probably at work or at home. And I got several calls. I got a call on Monday of a person in need. He said, yeah, I come to your church, and I need help, and I need this and that. And I prayed about it, and I said, well, if I'm going to make an error, I'm going to err on being too kind. Like, because I'm going to make a mistake, right? So I'm either going to make a mistake and be too kind or make a mistake and be too stingy. I don't want to get ripped off. In fact, I think everybody's lying and everybody's trying to scam me. That's just my normal internal thing is I think everybody's lying. So you talk to me and I'm like, you're probably not telling the truth. But on the other side, I'm like, I want to believe the best in people and I want to be kind and I want to focus on what is good. So there's this internal battle, this noise that happens in Chris. And so Chris gets his phone call that had come out and help me out. And I've been to your church a couple times. And so I said, great, I'll be there. Give me a little while. And so I finished reading the Bible to my kids, and I talked to my wife. We prayed for him, and I went out there to go help this gentleman. And on the way out there, I'm like, Lord, I need your love for this guy, first of all, because it's not in me. And I need your words for this guy, God, because the things I want to say may not be right. So I'm praying there, and I just knew, without a doubt, this guy never has been to your church. And so I get there and I hear his story. And like, I knew that before I even saw him. And then I saw him and I'm like, yeah, you've never been. I mean, sometimes you get people and I don't get to talk to. And so finally, about halfway through, I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Now, don't take this the wrong way. He goes through his whole spiel. I help him out. And I said, this has no bearing on me wanting to help you. But you've never been to our church, have you? No. And then I proceeded to share a few other things that I felt God put on my heart. And at the gas pump, out in Red Bank, I led him to the Lord. Because you need God to speak. So I was feeling good. On Monday, I led somebody to the Lord. Praise God. That's a good thing. Going to heaven is a good thing. I did my good deed for the week. And then on Wednesday, I get another phone call. And I don't have time for this one. I barely had time on Wednesday. I get another phone call from somebody else, and I'm like, I'm looking for everything I can do to get out of helping this person. In fact, Mike, one of our board members, I'm like, Mike, talk to this guy. He's been calling me. He's asking for help. He says that he's hungry. He says that he can't eat. I know he's full of it, but I'm going to lead towards grace. Talk to him. So I have Mike give him a call because if Mike talks to him and Mike gives me the ability to like not go, and if he says, well, I don't feel right about it, then I could go. But the whole time I'm sitting there, the Spirit of God is dealing with me. And I'm reading to my kids, and I'm busy, and I'm wanting to hang out with my wife, but the Spirit of God is dealing with me, even to the point, because this is how God works sometimes, that I let my kids pick in the Bible what they want to read. And so I let my kids pick their Bible story. I read to the boys because they're younger, one Bible, and to the girls, another Bible. And the boys picked Matthew 25. Now, if you don't know Matthew 25, that's the whole chapter where Jesus says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And either you did or you didn't, and Jesus was either pretty pleased or pretty ticked off. And so I read that out to them, waiting for Mike's call, and Mike says, you know, I think we should do this. So now it's Wednesday night, it's late, and I'm going to meet a homeless man out in the middle of Columbia. So I called Caleb. I said, you want to go do something dangerous for Jesus? He's like right now? And I'm like, yeah, right now. So I go, and I, you know, I'm not afraid, but I'm not dumb, so I don't take my wallet, just take just what I need, and just, I don't have any extra money on me, so you can't rob anything anyway. And so we go out there, and Caleb's like, what are you talking about? And I said, fill him in, there's a homeless guy, and he's hungry. So we drive out there to meet this man where he's at. And the whole time I'm going there, I feel like God gives me a message. Now, let me tell you something. If you've never met anybody and God has never spoken to you, sometimes it's really positive, like God loves you. But this particular message was, God is going to judge you if you don't get your act together. With as much love and grace, sometimes that's God's word to you. Do you realize that God is the judge? And so we show up there, and we buy him food, and we sit there, and we eat, and Caleb is all like, this sounds fun, let's go do this. And so we're there, and we sit there for probably 2 hours, and by the end of 2 hours, he's in the car, and he's in tears, and it was this great conversation where I sat, and I looked at him, and I heard his story, and I said, well, that's all fine and good, but do you know God is going to judge you? Remember how you talked to me about being before the judge early in your story? How did that feel? He said, not good. I said, well, multiply that by 1,000 because that's coming for you and me. Now, you can't say that unless God really put that in you to a stranger. Like, I wouldn't recommend. Don't lead with that. That's not like, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? One day he's going to judge you for everything you've ever done, and you'll be, like, helpless. Whatever he says goes. No, but I went and I shared that with him. And by the end, he's like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change. And then it was as if the Spirit of God showed up as we sat there in the car, and he talked about, I just don't know what to do. And we were like, you can't do anything. You need God to save you. That's what this is about. Like, you can't fix yourself. You know not any program out there is going to work. Like, all those things are good, but the change needs to happen here. And I shared about when I was without Christ, and I was addicted to drugs, and I remember finally getting to a point where I could only fall on my face. He's like, well, I'm trying to read the Bible. And I was like, reading the Bible will not save you. Only Jesus will save you. You need Jesus to save you. And so we lead him to the Lord. We share Christ with him. Okay, we talk about that it's nothing we can do. I shared this example. I played this game with my kids. I was like, I saw it and I thought it was a great illustration. I told him I'd give him a reward. I put him at the bottom of the stairs. I said, if you can get up the stairs without touching the stairs or without touching the handrail, then you'll win. And you can't touch something that also touches the stairs. So you can't, like, put a towel on the stairs and walk up. So my kids sat there and played. A couple of my kids are like American Ninja Warriors, so they got on the walls and they tried to Spider-Man the way themselves up there. But finally, my oldest daughter got it. She picked up my little one, and she carried him up the stairs. Look, Daddy, Jeremy won. He got a reward. Because there's no way to get up those stairs on your own without touching things. You could have someone carry you. And so we sat there and we shared that with the man, said, there's no way you could do this without Christ. And he came to Christ. We prayed for him. It was powerful. Caleb got back in the car and he's like, did you feel that? It felt like there was fire sitting in this car. I was like, yeah, man, God is cool. Like, it was, I don't know why I didn't, I mean, the AC was on. It wasn't hot. It was nighttime. But it was like this presence was in the car. We drop him off, or we dropped him off. Caleb starts praying for somebody else. I'm like, come on, Caleb. God didn't send us here for them. No, but anyways, Caleb got excited, and so we prayed for somebody else, and then we come home. But you need to be able to hear God. Like, this is not a Chris thing. This is a Christian thing. Like, every Christian should be allowed to hear God, should be able to hear God. God is able to speak, and he has a plan for you. And there is so much noise in this world that if you don't learn how to hear the voice of God, I don't know where you're going to wind up. Because there's a million voices telling you to go every other way, but there's one voice pointing to Christ. And you need to learn how to find that voice. So we're going to go through a few things. I have a scripture that I would love for you to read with me. It's the story of the sower who sowed the seed. And so he went out there, not sower like, you know, you have somebody who sows, but he sowed some seed. And it is over here. Let me go to this thing right here since the screen's turned off on us. It says, and Jesus is talking, he says, a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him. And he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell among the path that was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell among the rock, and it grew up, but then withered away because it had no moisture or no root. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and with it, and choked it. And some fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is one of the only parables, there's a few, but this is one of the only parables that Jesus actually took the time to explain. Now, I want you to understand, he told a lot of stories. And there's a whole reason behind why he told stories and why he told these little parables of that he hid truth in them. But this is one of the ones that he says, all right, he told that to everybody. A lot of people were confused. A lot of times Jesus spoke and people were like, it was good, but I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said, but it was good. But then he pulls his disciples by and he says, let me explain this parable to you. I want to give you a secret. I want to let you know a little bit of a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And so right now we get to partake in that mystery. The thing that Jesus broke down, it's for us, I believe, as much as it is for them. In verse 11, it's on the back of your thing. The parable is this. This is Jesus breaking it down. The seed is the word of God. Now think about this sower. I worked in a nursery. We grew plants, and we didn't plant things this way. This was not how we did. When we got our coconuts, we grew coconut palms. When we got our coconuts, we took the coconuts out of a semi-trailer. We cut open the sack, and we put them each in little pots that had soil in them. We wanted all of them to grow. But this sower, he seems like he's just taking handfuls of seed and throwing them everywhere he can. Some are falling on the path. Some are falling on rocky ground. And so this seed, this word, is going everywhere. And it says, the one along the path are those who have heard the word, and the devil comes and takes it away. Takes the word from their hearts. So the first point I want you to make on there is we hear him with our hearts. And we'll stop with that first group because it says there are some that the seed falls along the path. And remember he said it's been trampled underfoot? Well, the first heart Jesus talks about, and he's going to talk about four, is the damaged heart. The damaged heart. If your heart is damaged, it is very difficult to hear God's voice. And there's some people in this room that that's where you are. Now think about that path. The path had been trampled upon. It had been walked on. It had been stepped on. It had been beaten down. It was hard. It was dirty. Animals had walked along these paths. They didn't have vehicles. There were no oil stains. Animals don't leak oil. Other things come out of the animal. And it was all over the path, and it was disgusting, and it was dirty, and it was not good for a seed to take root. That's like some of us right here. Some of us have been damaged. Like, we are damaged. We are broken. We cannot hear God. And it's like the seed just gets snatched up and eaten by the birds. The next heart, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The next one is the disconnected heart. The disconnected heart. Like, you're not staying connected. There's some people in here that you're not connected to Jesus. Well, you say, why are you saying disconnected? Well, it said it had no root. The one thing I know about plants is they need water. They need moisture. Sunlight and moisture, the right nutrients, and the thing will grow. It does it on its own because that's what it's designed to do. There's power, there's life in that seed, and you put it in the right environment and it will grow. But you chop something off at the root and it will die. The root in our lives is Jesus Christ. So it talks about this plant that it sprouts up and it starts to grow, but it has no moisture, so it just withers and it falls away. Like, I've been there when I've not been rooted in Christ, when I've not learned to abide in him and let his words constantly abide in me and his spirit come. Like, I've been there. And it's a horrible place. It's hard to walk with God. It's hard to hear God. It's hard enough to hear him when you're connected and when you're pressing in and when you're feeling his life flow through you. But there's some people even in this room, you've not been connected with God. Not that you don't believe, but there's no root. You haven't let it take root. The gospel is an invitation. I want you to think about this. The gospel is an invitation to die so that you can live. That's hard. But that's what the invitation is. It's die so that you can live. It's watch what Jesus did. For those of you who were damaged, Jesus was damaged so that you could be healed. For those of you that are disconnected, Jesus came here for you. If you're feeling disconnected, it's not because God wants you that way. Like, Jesus came for you, and he came to have a close relationship with you, and he came to get close with you, and he wants you to be connected. He, like we were telling the man that we led to the Lord, we're like, to me, this is one of my most favorite things about Christianity. I'm not putting other religions down, but it's not man trying to get to God. It's not pray this way or eat this or don't eat that. It's God coming for man, God coming for humanity. Like, we were lost and he found us. We were the sheep that was lost. And he left heaven and came down for us. So if you're damaged, he was damaged for you. If you're disconnected, he comes looking for you. The next seed, the word falls on, and it falls among thorns. And they're the people that hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. That's the distracted heart. That's where I would bet the majority of us wind up. I know there's some people damaged, but maybe God's healed you in the past. I know there's some people that are disconnected, but there's some that you feel close to God. But why aren't you bearing fruit? Why aren't you? And I'm not saying you got to be like me. I mean, please, it's not safe to go visit every homeless person that calls you. I'm not saying to do that. But I am saying that there is a plan for you. There is fruit for you. There is sometimes in life that God can break in and everything that's boring and mundane about life, he can turn it around and just do something awesome. And you can hear his voice and you can know what he's saying. Well, why don't you have that? Well, it says these weeds are the cares, the distractions, the desire for wealth, pleasure, riches. Like, if you had to choose between money or having none, money's pretty good, right? If you had to choose between one job that paid this much and one job that paid only this much, you want the more, probably. But money is not life. Life has to be more. Riches fade away. Dollars get dirty. They take them out of circulation. Even dollars get old. But this idea of distraction, I think that's what's killing the body of Christ in our area, in our country, is people are distracted. That's not saying, hey, stop sinning. It's saying, hey, turn off Netflix. Because that's what I had to do on Wednesday. I was planning to watch me some Netflix. and just hang out, just relax, just enjoy a night where I could sit down and be still. Maybe you don't like Netflix, that's fine, but that's what I wanted to do. But sometimes you have to say, you know what? Whose am I? My life is not my own. I told God this very long ago when I became a Christian. My life is not my own. This is your breath in my lungs, your love in my heart. This is your dollars in my bank account. My life is not my own. God, you died for me so that I could live for you. So whatever you want, Jesus, I will do. It's a crazy prayer to pray, and I would hope that when you pray it, you mean it. Because if it's never cost you anything, I don't know what Jesus you're following. Because the Jesus I read about in Scripture, follow me. But what about follow me? But all right, follow me. That's what this world needs. Now, I'm not saying that we're not all moving to a commune in the mountains. I mean, we still have jobs. We still have life. We still watch Netflix. But where's your heart? Those are three hearts in the Scripture that when the Word of God falls on, it doesn't bring fruit. So as God starts to speak to you, he speaks to your heart. In fact, if you look at the word heart, the word ear is right in the middle of that. And the word hear, like that's where he speaks. He speaks right here. And if we're going to talk about all these things we can do to hear God, you have to start with your heart. But here's the crazy thing. You can't fix it yourself. You need Christ to fix your heart, to take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. To go in and if your soil's been damaged, you can till it up and bring it up and move it up. And the path you can have, in fact, the field that we bought when my father bought a field, it was a trash heap, literally. A hurricane that came through in the 20s, they dumped it all there. And my dad made me and some other guys go pull it all out. So that was my summers, moving junk out of a field, clearing a field, taking land that was damaged, and making it to where it can bring life. And if you're not connected, well, Christ is here to connect with you. Let him in. Let the root go down. Let his spirit work in you. And if you're distracted, focus on what's important. Now, the last heart in there is the heart that it says it. As for that in the good soil, they are those that hearing the word, they hold fast in with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I would level that's the pure heart. Now, what do you mean by pure? I don't know, but Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He said that as you have this hope within us, it purifies us as he is pure. Hebrews talks about let's draw near to him with a true heart in full assurance of our faith. And see, that was what the most beautiful thing about on Wednesday was not that there's nothing to brag about in heaven. Think about that. There's nothing for me to brag about in heaven. Guess what I did? I gave up Netflix, and there's Christians there that, like, lost their heads and gave up their properties and like, ooh, you got off the couch. You get in the back of the line. You know what I'm saying? But at least I'm in the line. I will be last in that line. I don't care. There's nothing to brag about. But the coolest part was as we brought them to the understanding, and Caleb was doing such a great job, and it kind of went back and forth, and the Spirit of God was there, that there's nothing you can do on your own. You have to cry out to him. You have to come to a place where you are weak. Christ had to die a brutal death because that's what we deserved, and that's what it took to save us. But he did it, and he's alive, and it worked, and heaven's door is open. The veil is torn. If you don't know what that means, if you're hearing me, you're saying, what do you mean the veil is torn? In the temple, there was this place that they called the Holy of Holies, and it was so pure and so holy. That's why they called Holy of Holies, all right? It was so pure and so holy that if you went in there, you died. And so they put a veil, a curtain, long curtain, just like this. And when Jesus' body was ripped apart and died on the cross, and what I mean ripped, I mean they put nails through him and they put a hole in his side and they ripped his back with the whips and they pulled out his beard and they punched him and they put the thorns in his head. And when this brutal death happened, somehow that veil was torn. The way into the presence of God, it was paid for, and that was for you. I want to invite you onto a walk that is fun, that is awesome, where you can hear God. And we're going to go over a few practical things the next few weeks. But right now, we're going to give you a chance to look at your heart. Now, I know that that's hard, that's scary, but I want you just to bow your head just for a second, just to close your eyes just for a minute, and we're wrapping up right now. I don't know where your heart is. I promise you that God loves you. God's not mad at you. This is an era of grace. Like, I feel God's mercy and love just all over this place. I promise you God doesn't want you to be damaged. If you're damaged, Jesus hurts for you. He loves you. It's not a condemnation. If you're disconnected, Jesus is saying, here I am. If you're distracted, here's a reminder. But I believe God wants to do great things. And so I don't know where your heart is. If you maybe are dealing with a damaged heart, you just feel broken and damaged and you don't know how to overcome, you need God to bring some healing, would you just put your hand up right now, not to cause any shame? If you feel disconnected, maybe not damaged, but you just feel disconnected, like where is God in all of this? You can't hear his voice in the midst of all the noise. Would you just put your hand up? If you just feel disconnected, amen. If you feel distracted, or you know you've been distracted, Lord, I don't know if I can think of somebody that didn't raise their hand for something. God, we are not worthy. We need you to work in us. Whether we're damaged or disconnected or distracted, purify us as you are pure.